Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, welcome to the Dudes on Hockey podcast. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Hey, dude. Do you know what episode it is?
69, dude.
69, dude.
That was a good Bill and Ted's reference, dude.
Congratulations.
For those of you under 40, that was a movie.
That came out.
When did that come out? 89? Oh, my God. That was, yeah. Alex Winter. What's he up to now? Alex Winter and Keanu Reeves.
I think I actually bought a mattress from him last weekend at
Alex Winter?
Sleep Train. Yeah.
Very nice.
Bill and Ted's. Jeez, dude. That movie came out in 1989. Excellent. But nice. When did Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey come out?
92?
91.
Oh,
you're
close.
A failure. You're a cinematic failure, dude. Speaking of failures, I know I'm going a little off topic here. Dude, I saw a movie called Paranormal Activity.
Awesome.
Awesome if you like boring stuff.
You mean like the Phoenix game?
I'd say, you know, the weird part is when I went into the movie theater, I sat down and the movie starts and all they did was show footage from Toronto Maple Leafs games this year.
Yeah. Mike Komisarek heading the puck into the net.
It was just a bunch of Paranormal Activity, I'll tell you that. In all seriousness, though, I did see the movie and it did suck.
Okay.
Okay, just for the record.
And Toronto is subnormal, not paranormal.
Dude, as usual, we've got a lot to talk about. We had a pretty successful homestand, I would say.
5 out of 6 points is good.
Not bad. We maybe didn't end it on the note that we wanted to, but we'll get to that in a moment. What'd you take from this, dude?
Well, they bounced back, right? I mean, the first line seems to be clicking again. It's good. There's certainly a lot of questions to be had, and actually we got an email from Chris from Boston that we're going to talk about in
detail.
Some
great questions.
Yeah, I think Chris really sums up a lot of the lingering questions the Sharks have to face here, even though we are only 2 weeks into the season, let's be honest. It's not time to jump off the bridge yet and get the knife out and start prepping the veins, because we're not anywhere close. There's a lot of time for this team to change for the better and actually for
the worse. There's a lot of good things. I mean, we've seen a lot of good things and we've seen a lot of things that made you go,
Yeah.
You know, but certainly there's some things to build on, and you know, they're 3-2-1, and that's, you know, it's not the start from last year, but we are still undefeated at home.
That's good. That's right. That's
in
right.
Regulation.
And Heatley was the first star of the NHL this week. Danny Heatley. Hello.
Yeah.
Major star hat trick versus Columbus. It was a very exciting way to start a career with the San Jose Sharks, wouldn't you say?
I can't think of a better introduction to the home fans.
Yeah.
And sort of the final giant middle finger to Ottawa.
Yeah. And there was even a Danny Heatley chant. Yeah. Have you ever heard that before? I mean, other than the Nabby chant.
The Nabby chant and the Urbe chant.
Right.
That's it.
So that was really...
I don't remember there being a Chris Terreri chant. No.
Dave Lowry.
The choo-choo whistle.
Yeah, the choo-choo whistle.
We did have that.
Not really a chant.
No, but a salute to a player.
Just
and
like
we
gooch.
Did have the Mark Bell bottle opening sound. Is that wrong?
A little bit.
Okay.
But it's still funny. Still funny.
Boy, we're starting on a low note.
No, dude. We're not. We're talking about Danny Heatley, dude. So you think that the fans are just sheep and they're just too easily won over, or you...
No. I think that everybody was... I mean, we were standing squarely behind him. You wanted to succeed. But, you know, say Danny Heatley, you know... was wearing a Ryan Clough mask and was producing like Ryan Clough is right now, which is the giant goose egg in 6 games. I think we'd be sitting here going right now going, gosh, you know, I really wish we had Mahalik and Chichu's combined 2 points back.
I wouldn't be saying
to
that.
Their credit, dude, I think they do have a combined 3 points now.
Oh, excuse me. 3.
Yeah.
I need to get a bigger calculator. These numbers are getting so huge.
But No, he went out there and did what he needed to do. He won us over. I mean, he won everybody over.
Yeah.
And you can just see my favorite thing. I was demonstrating this to someone the other day. Is I love that he stands in front of the net with the stick just up and back, just like turning from side to side, like, please, pass me the puck. I'm just going to blast it.
Yeah, you know? Just one time.
He doesn't have his stick on the ice. It's like up and ready to just shove it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You got to love that, dude. I think... No, if people were questioning the effectiveness of the top line, it certainly has improved by a mile.
Yes, dramatically, dramatically. And if you looked at a recent blog post, sharks.hockeyanalysis.com, I think the Sharks, that top line is actually number two in the NHL in points right now, behind only the high-flying Alex Ovechkin line. So
that's not bad company to be in.
Certainly not.
And what a matchup that's going to be.
Yeah, we're going to see them on Thursday.
Yeah.
We'll be talking about that later in the show, so... Yeah, I'm behind Heatley. Do I think everybody's drinking the Kool-Aid? No, but they want him to... I don't know. San Jose fans are a pretty friendly bunch overall. I mean, it's in a way, it's sort of the opposite of Philly, right? Philly's like, prove it to me that you're decent. And San Jose fans want to believe that everybody's good. They want everybody to be, you know... There's not too many
but
people
I think
that
there were definitely...
On.
There. You know, when the trade happened, there were some people who were a little apprehensive about it. Jeez, mm-hmm. You know? I don't know. You know, I'm not sure if this guy's going to be a rotten egg, and maybe he still will end up being in that category, but sure seems happy, and everything's coming up roses right now as far as the top line.
That's right. That's right. Second line, maybe not quite as much because Joe Pavelski's still out.
Maybe fake roses you buy at Michael's. Not so good.
In the Minnesota game, that was, you know, kind of... Another slow start. Actually, there was a slow start against Columbus and a slow start again in Minnesota, but the Sharks came back.
Minnesota was like watching like a little brother version of your own team. Mm-hmm. It was kind of weird, actually. Yeah. And you can tell that Todd Richards is a good coach. I think we knew that. And that team already has a totally different identity.
Yeah, yeah.
And they've really embraced his style, which is basically the Sharks style. And if they had better players...
I wouldn't go that far.
Well, but, you know, I mean, they were shooting a lot from the point, mm-hmm. a lot. And they had... defensemen were jumping into the play constantly. And if they had better personnel, I think that they would have beat us. Because, maybe that's a dumb statement. But the way that the game was going, they just couldn't finish, mm-hmm. you know? And maybe Nabby played well.
I think Nabby played
on
well.
On top of that. But... they certainly had a lot of odd man rushes at the beginning, and it could have really easily been, you know, if it was had been Detroit, it could have been 4-0 pretty fast.
Detroit's not playing so well right now.
Well, let's say Detroit of last year, at this time or whatever.
Yes, exactly. So, yeah, that was definitely a good thing. It's good to see the team come back. They got down at home. They managed to score a couple goals against taking a ton of penalties in the second period. There's a 2-minute 5-on-3 against that they killed. I think there were 3 other kills, and they still managed to come back and tie the game in the second period. That was a crazy second period.
It was a wacky homestand for penalties in general, because I think the Phoenix game was also very strange.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the calls or non-calls that happened in that game. I don't know. I think the Sharks don't get a ton of respect still in that regard. The home cooking, as you might say, from the referees, they don't really get that at all. I don't know, dude. I'd like to see the refs be a little more teal.
Well, usually home teams do get about 10-15% more calls than the away team. Maybe it's just a weird little stretch here. But, well, we're not going to see them at home again for quite a while. They're
That's
gonna
right.
Be on
we're going
for
on the
a
road.
Weeks. So Phoenix, it was almost like Phoenix and the Wild like swap places, right? Like the Wild were sort of jumping and trying to score, and Phoenix just clogged everything and they just trapped. It was Dave Tippett hockey.
Yeah, another team that takes on the identity of their coach.
Yeah.
They, you know, that's a team that if they want to play that way this year, I mean, maybe they're going to contend for the 8th seed.
Mm-hmm.
Because Brizgalov is pretty damn good. Now, if I was running that team, I would get rid of Jovo. I would get rid of, you know, most of the veteran players that I had and try and rebuild it in a Dave Tippett mold. But I don't know. What do you think the plan is there, dude?
Well, there's still so much up in the air with that franchise. I guess Dave Tippett is a somewhat of a calming force. But, I mean, we don't even know who the owner is going to be. they might want a new GM. Who even knows? I think, you know, their personnel is, I don't think they have enough talent to really go far. I think Breezy is a great goalie when he's on, and sometimes he's not on. So that's sort of the knock against Breezy, is he's not super consistent. But when he's on, he's certainly as good as anybody else.
But they seem to be taking the strategy of that they're going to try and win as many games now as they can. I mean, they don't have Kyle Turris. They don't have Tikhanov. And they just sent down Bodker today. Mm. So they're getting rid of their young talent, sending them down to develop more. Either at, you know, I don't know if Bodker being sent to juniors, or was he on the team last year? So I guess he's down in the AHL. So, you know, they're definitely not in the New York Islanders school of send the kids out and let them play.
Right.
You know, they're more in the let's, you know, see how many Adrian Acoins and Jim Vandermeers we can dig up and try and squeeze out some more wins, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm not sure I agree with it, but it's going to make them definitely a pest to play against. I mean, what a boring 0-0.
Yeah, that was a real pain.
Result, dude.
And Nabby wasn't great in the shootout again.
No. No.
Not particularly good.
No, he wasn't. That's not his thing.
You know what's funny is we're going to talk more about Klo later on in the show, but you know who has the most success other than Joe Pavelski, who was hurt, is Ryan Klo. And not seeing Ryan Klo in the shootout was to me a surprise. I think I read an article that said that maybe on Puck Prospectus. I can't remember where I read that. But in terms of shootout conversion percentage, they probably couldn't have picked a worse group. They should have picked Marlowe. They should have picked Klo. And I can't remember the third person that was going to be better, but near the bottom of the list in terms of shootout conversion career were the three that they picked: Setoguchi, Boyle, and Healy. I think actually Boyle was the best of the bunch, and he was in fact the one who scored. So,
well, I can understand taking Healy. I mean, he's hot.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you go with the hot hand. It's sort of maybe the emotional pick, and not picking Marlowe is. That's puzzling,
yeah,
for sure.
I think you picked Klo too, because
really,
yeah, you get him jump started. Whatever you got to do to get him going, who cares? You know, if I mean, he's traditionally very good in the shootout, right? He's about 50% or a little bit better, I think, which is much better than anybody else. Second, you do whatever you got to do to get the guy going. I mean, there's no benefit in just, you know, making him sulk on the bench if he's going to help the team in the shootout, and that's the only thing he can do. Well, I guess that's what you do, right?
I guess I'm not sure, you know, Klo's so cold right now.
I'm not
sure he could, you know, get a date with Paris Hilton.
Yeah. Couldn't hit the water if he fell out of a boat.
I guess, you know, I don't know what's going on with him. I know we're going to get into that in a little bit, but I can understand not going to Klo. He's not doing anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
So why send out someone who you're looking down there going, geez, you know, you're probably the biggest disappointment on this team right now.
Mm-hmm.
At least as far as the forwards, why should we run you out here when we need a win?
Yeah, yeah. Well, the other notable point of the Phoenix game was we have started a new era, the era of Steven Zaleski. How impressed were you with Steven Zaleski's first NHL game, dude? Yeah? Mm?
I got to say, dude, yeah? I really think he made a huge impact. The way that he opened and closed the bench door.
Yeah.
Was some of the greatest, the wrist action, yeah, as far as, you know, when he opened the door, when he closed it, when he wiped the sweat off of Jed Ortmeier's visor, I thought was really effective. In his 5 minutes and 26 seconds, dude, I really thought that Steven Zaleski was a winner.
Yeah. And yes.
Dude, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
Hello, warm body, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't get some of the roster moves that are happening right now.
Me either.
I don't really know what to say. Like, yeah. I don't totally get it. I think maybe there's something more behind this that maybe we need to look at the big picture here, dude. Maybe they're checking out a bunch of these depth players that we have in the AHL. Because maybe there's a move coming. I mean, maybe not now, but maybe if they're looking down the road and they're saying, okay, well, what are we going to do if we need to upgrade at a certain position? And they ask us for a player from either from our top nine forwards.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have a player that's going to be able to step in and take over?
Right.
Maybe that's what they're looking at.
Maybe.
I mean, that could be what they're trying to see. And in 5 minutes, obviously, you know, after the first period, I'm not sure Zaleski really got out there at all, dude.
I don't think so. I look at the shift listings every now and again. It's like Shelley doesn't play in the third period at all. He's just not there.
Do you find that irritating?
Yes. Yes, I do.
We lost two players. Basically, they mm-hmm. stopped playing Shelley and Zaleski.
Right. Right.
So what's the point of that?
I don't know. Patrick Marleau's playing 23 minutes. Healy played 21:46. Boyle's playing 27 minutes. Joe's playing almost 22 minutes. I mean, they're really leaning on these top guys, and you wonder, it's way too early to wonder, but you wonder if it's going to happen again this year where these guys get a little run down late in the season. I mean, are forwards really meant to play 23, 24 minutes a night?
Dude, we're going to do a little scientific experiment here.
We are. Okay?
On the spot. I'm going to look at the Kings-Rangers box score tonight.
Okay.
And we're going to see if they had any player play that few minutes. Okay. On the LA Kings, had Ivanens.
Yeah, Ivanens, I think.
He played 5 minutes and 18 seconds.
Okay.
And then after that, the next player played 8 minutes and 57 seconds, and that was Peter Harold.
Okay.
Okay, so, and that's a defenseman. So, isn't that worse? So now you've got a defenseman that you're playing 9 minutes, giving 9 minutes of ice time to. So they had two guys under 10 minutes. And if you look at the Rangers, they had one, two, three guys under 10 minutes. Really? Aaron Voris is playing less than 5 minutes. And that the rookie,
Anisimov?
Anisimov, yeah. He only played 8 minutes also. Hmm. So it looks like this isn't too uncommon.
Yeah. Man, Aaron Voris, how the mighty have fallen, huh? He had like a huge start last year.
Yeah, he's not playing a ton of time. You look at a team like, you know, Pittsburgh, and you know they have Mike Rupp playing 7 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
That's the least amount of time that happened tonight. And then Carolina, they have Carolina, they have Tim Conboy, he only played 5 minutes. So, I mean, I guess this isn't too...
It's kind of par for the course.
It's par for the course and actually kind of dull. Let's move to the next topic.
All right, dude. Well, we got an email. So we mentioned that earlier. Chris in Boston emailed us. Dude, it's getting in front of you. What does Chris say?
Chris asks about many... First of all, he's sorry about your DVR problems.
Yeah, I'm going to fix that.
Okay. You know, there's medication for that,
mm-hmm.
I hear.
Levitra?
Dude, he says there's three weak links to the Sharks that have been exposed by the early season play. I'm going to take them one by one.
Okay. All right.
So the first one is he talks about Ken Huskins has been a defensive liability. He's not helping out with the offense either. Seems like defense is the weakest area in the Sharks game. Wouldn't it be nice to have Rive or Hannon on the team, dude? Thoughts?
It would be nice.
It would be nice.
Next question.
Okay. No, dude, so... I think when we identified, and actually EJ Raddick identified for us at the end of the season last year, the Sharks needed upgrading in a number two defenseman. They didn't do that.
No.
That didn't happen. And they're asking Douglas Murray to fill that. I think that he's doing an admirable job,
mm-hmm.
but
mm-hmm.
he's not going to be able to chip in really on the offensive end, you know, although we did see a glimpse of that in the preseason. But I think that they're hoping Murray's going to become our Mike Komisarek, and he might. Maybe with the increased playing time, he's going to continue to improve. But couldn't the Sharks really benefit from replacing one of their, you know, Murray and Boyle excluded and Blake excluded? Don't we need an upgrade somewhere in there between Vlasic, Huskins, and Demers? Is that really going to cut it in the end?
I hope so, because I don't see how we could possibly make a move. I mean, we just got rid of Christian Ehrhoff and Brad Lukowich weeks ago, right?
Right.
So I mean, we threw our lot in with a young D, number five and a number six. That's frankly a little shaky.
Well, let's talk about Ken Huskins here for a second, because are we being unfair? He's a plus two.
Yeah, I'm looking at his numbers right now. Actually, that's what I was kind of doing.
I mean, are we kind of jumping all over him for the preseason? And because in the regular season, now granted, he's not getting the ice time against the pairings that, you know, he's not facing the top two lines regularly.
No.
But I mean, the guy's a plus two.
Actually, you know what's funny is on behindthenet.ca, those of you that are hockey stat geeks know what that is maybe. They have a stat called rating, which is your plus minus per 60 minutes versus the plus minus of everybody else on the team and how it compares.
Sure.
Number one on the team, Ken Huskins.
So he's the best player.
Well, that's it by one measure.
Who's the worst?
Right now it's Scott Nickel. But see, that, you know, that doesn't factor into things like quality of competition.
Right.
So you look at quality of competition, actually quality of teammates. It's interesting. You know, it's still very, it's a young season. It's hard to figure out what's going on here. But yeah, Ken Huskins is actually number one. So maybe you're right. Maybe we're giving him, you know, we're
for the role he's being asked to play, 13, 14 minutes, a little bit of penalty kill, no power play. You know, Detroit, you know, on their fifth and sixth guys, you know, they don't play a lot, but they don't play a lot. You know, so, I mean, maybe Ken Huskins is going to be okay in that role. Now, let's talk about Jason Demers.
Yeah.
Have you been impressed?
Absolutely, I have, yeah. He's number three on the team in rating, whatever that means. And,
especially on the power play,
it's
right?
It's him and Boyle, top pairing on the power play. Him
three
and Boyle.
Three assists in six games?
Yeah.
So, if he keeps that up, he's going to have 40 points.
Yeah, yeah.
He won't keep that up, no. Let's be clear.
No.
But it's not out of bounds to say that Jason Demers, if he's on the team for the whole year, he might have 25 points.
It could happen.
An admirable job. So, dude, are we pointing the finger at Mark Edward Vlasic right here and saying, not cutting it yet?
Mm-hmm. I think we have to.
So, do you think Vlasic has any value hypothetically?
Oh, sure.
Sure.
I mean, if you want to judge his whole career by the first six games of the season, then no, he has no value.
No,
but if you want to judge his career by the stalwart defense he's provided the last 2.5 years or however long he's been in the league, then yes, of course, he has a lot of value.
But if we're looking at sort of what Doug Wilson has done in the last 6 months, where he's evaluated players that are not, in his opinion, able to take the team to the next level, who's at the top of that list right now? Who's the next one to go? It can't be Marlowe unless the offseason. It can't be Nabokov. So if someone is maybe not delivering right now, the top two of that list might be Vlasic and Klow.
Yeah.
You know, as far as, you know, who could be next on the move. So a friend of ours, you know, who's written to the show, Jerry, suggested moving Vlasic to Nashville for Dan Hamhuis.
Mm-hmm.
Would you do it?
Dan Hamhuis, really? I don't know if I'd make that trade.
Is it an upgrade?
I don't even know if it's an upgrade. That's the problem.
I'm not sure either. Now, we're talking about Ryan Suter.
Yes.
That's an upgrade.
Yes.
Finding a legitimate number two defenseman, I think, would be very pricey and really difficult to find.
Yeah.
Especially when I think we both believe that down the road, our number two defenseman is in the system right now.
Right.
It's just not going to be ready this year, maybe. And he might not be ready to be that kind of star player next year either. But I really think Petrecki is going to be the type of guy who can play that type of role for us.
Right. He's going to be Mike Komsarek, right? That's what we're hoping. That's the upper bound of Nick Petrecki.
He's got more of an offensive upside than Mike Komsarek. I mean, we saw
Are
it.
You sure? I mean,
Dude, we saw it. Dude, what do you remember that shootout play?
Yeah, that was a preseason shootout. Dude. Preseason
dude, you shootout. Saw the stones he had to make. Mike Komsarek doesn't make do two fakes and then roof it.
Well, you see that 9-year-old kid with that shootout move, dude? Does that mean we should put him on the blue line because he's got a good shootout move?
Okay, look, dude, stop getting hostile.
All right.
Let's get serious.
All right.
You're getting a little salty.
Let's get down to business. Okay.
So do you think that it's possible that the Sharks are still looking to upgrade the blue line? Or do you think Doug Wilson's going to say, this is it?
No, I think they're always looking. I mean, clearly there's a bad taste in the mouth of the organization because of what happened last year. And if they find a way to make this team better, then they're going to do it. All right. So
okay. What's next?
Yeah.
Grice, quite frankly, lost a game in Los Angeles. This is the words of Chris again. Goaltending is a bit of a problem last year with the departure of Boucher. It has gotten much worse. So your take on Thomas Grice only playing a period and a half in the first six games.
I don't get it, because we talked earlier in the show about how there's this revolving door bringing up guys to see what's going on. How come Grice isn't part of that in terms of, okay, who can we throw in there needs be, right? I said a few shows back that the Sharks could trade Nabby at the deadline for all we know if that's the situation. Why aren't the Sharks giving Grice a proper audition here? That's one thing I don't understand.
Because they don't like what they are seeing.
They saw 1.5 periods out of the guy.
They didn't like what they saw in the preseason
then
either.
Then send him down, bring up Dakers and start him. I mean, you know, they have to make a decision on Nabi. And this is the one thing that I hope, you know, Nabokov is a veteran player. He's been in the league. He's been very good for a long time. He won Rookie of the Year back in 2000. And we heard stuff from the coach last year saying Nabby's essentially driving the bus. Nabi decides when he plays and when he doesn't. And that's fine last year. This year, it's really going to come back and bite you, unless they already have a contract in the works. Maybe they do. Maybe they're already negotiating for an extension, which I would find extremely
difficult.
That's
a huge mistake if that's what's going on.
Or I'd find it extremely difficult to believe, but you got to think a little bit long term here. Starting against Phoenix. Okay, Islanders on Saturday. Start Grice against the Islanders. Or you start him on the front end of the back-to-back with the second one being the Flyers, right? I can't remember who's on the front end of that back-to-back, like Florida or something. Start him then. They got to start this guy. They got to start answering that question. Who's going to be a goaltender of this team next year? And if it's not Grice, then it's got to be somebody else. And they need to make that decision soon. They can't just chill him on the bench for 30 games and then bring him in. I mean, that seems ridiculous.
I totally agree with you, dude. And I think that if they have no confidence in Grice, then, you know, if you're planning on playing Nabi for 4 or 5 games in a row, injuries, you know, hopefully notwithstanding here, then you have Grice sit there. Mm-hmm. But if you're ready to let, you know, someone play a game, then you go get Stalock, bring him up, see what he's got. I mean, you know, he's played 2 games, you know, he's looks decent in Worcester. He looked good in the preseason. You know, you got to see what you've got in these guys, because they're the future of the franchise, really. And it's going to be the difference between them trying to go out and throw big money at a free agent goaltender, or they're going to have to go with the kids unproven into next year. No, thanks.
No, I don't want to seem too harsh here, but, you know, Bill James said once about baseball, he said, the future is not a plan. And I have a feeling that's a little bit what the Sharks are doing here with goaltending. They have these guys that are in the minors. They have Stalock. They have Sexsmith. You know, they got these other guys. There's another goaltender I can't think of at the moment. Sateri, is it?
He's not signed yet.
Okay. But so they got these guys, Grice, you know, certainly in the group. You know, they're ready to mature, but they don't have a plan to get these guys in the lineup or a plan to figure out what to do with these guys. That's what it seems like right now. Obviously, I'm not privy to the...
So then nothing's changed. Now he's driving the bus, mm-hmm. and he's going to play 70 games, and that's it.
That appears to be the situation.
Well, you know what? If we win all the way through and we win the cup, then I won't care.
That's right.
So, but if Nabi gets run down or Nabi gets hurt because they weren't getting the backup in enough, then it's going to be a problem.
And, right.
You know, I would be shocked if that didn't happen. At least, you know, Nabi seems to pull his hammy or his groin or something, or his back flares up at some point during the year. So,
but if we have the second coming of Peter Budaj in net for the Sharks next year, I'm going to be really pissed.
Yeah. Well, dude, I don't know. I think it's a legitimate question by Chris. And then here's the third one.
Okay.
Shelley seems to be holding back the fourth line. Now that Nickel and Ortmeier are here, that line is very close to being a dominating grind line. I don't know if I'd say dominating, but a much improved grind line.
No doubt about that.
With Fraser McLaren looking like he could play every night and Brad Staubitz waiting in the wings. I don't know what Shelley is adding to the equation. That's what Chris says.
Yeah, we've talked about Shelley a lot recently. You know, and we just did the minutes breakdown with other teams. So it's not completely nuts out of the ordinary to have these guys. I mean, what does Brashear add? What does Colton Orr add? Riley Cote? I mean, there's a whole host of these guys that are on NHL teams. They don't take a regular shift. They play a few minutes every night. So Shelley brings something to the equation, and we just don't know what it is, to be honest. It's not winning a fight, right? I mean, that's really unfortunate.
He doesn't beat people with one arm tied behind their back. No. P.S., if you didn't see that fight in the Minnesota game where Fraser McLaren literally had his arm completely tied up in his jersey, and he still
got it free and beat the tar out of the guy.
Yeah, you got to look that one up on hockeyfights.com.
That was fun.
That was a great, that's one of the best fights, efforts in a fight that I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
And he was not going to go down in his first fight, you know.
No. Even with one arm caught up, he wasn't just going to clinch or fall down and end the thing. No, he was coming back.
He was not going to go down, period. So I think the problem with Jody Shelley is they're stuck. I mean, mm-hmm. there's nothing they can do unless somebody wants to trade for him.
They can send him down.
They could send him down, but then they couldn't bring him back up.
Oh, you mean if somebody claimed him, they'd have to pay half
the
salary?
They have to pay half the salary. The Sharks are in no position to have, you know, $0.4 million dead sitting on their cap. They can't do it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I think they're stuck. They're stuck with Jody Shelley for the rest of the year. And then at the end of the year, I think there's no doubt in my mind that he's not going to be back because, you know, Fraser McLaren is definitely ready.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah,
I don't know. I mean, it'll be interesting. And I think we both agree that if Shelley's not cutting the mustard, then you got to then scratch him.
Right. Why not McLaren? I mean, McLaren is certainly big enough to take on the heavyweights. Maybe he's certainly capable of losing a fight too, last I checked. Right. And Fraser McLaren is capable of actually playing some offense. He had some decent offensive chances, though he couldn't put one in the net yet, and he can play the kill. That looks like an upgrade to me. So yeah. There's clearly something else with Shelley. I just don't know what it is. I mean, it's, you know, locker room presence or whatever it is. You know, I just don't know. It's puzzling.
So great questions, Chris. Yeah. I think you kind of hit on our three hot button topics of the week. But the fourth one is, dude, where in the world is Ryan Clough?
Yeah, it's not good. No points.
6 points?
Yeah.
Six games, no points.
Yeah, yeah.
And he looks pretty lost. Now, to his credit, he's tried to get involved physically.
Mm-hmm.
He has had a couple scraps. But it doesn't seem to be clicking for him right now. But they are still running him out there. I mean, he's still playing a lot of ice time.
Yeah.
The coach has not lost confidence in him, except for maybe by not putting him in the shootout.
Yeah, yeah.
So you got to think that Clough's going to snap out of this, right?
I hope so. I mean, his line, he's averaging almost 3 goals when he's on the ice per 60 minutes, which is pretty good. And he has no points. So something's happening when he's out there. Maybe he's just skating in circles behind his own net while the rest of his team goes out and scores. I don't understand it. But yeah, he's doing some stuff that I don't like to see.
He's a decoy.
Yeah. He does a little mime, does the glass box thing, good. And everybody watches.
Well, everybody's watching it.
Yeah. So yeah, the stuff he's doing on the half boards, it's not a good enough Joe Thornton impression for him to try and play that game. He needs to get involved physically. I think we saw a little bit more of that in Phoenix and to a lesser extent Minnesota. So, you know, he needs to get back to that. He's not going to be making tight turns at the, you know, in the half boards and whipping passes across the slot. He seems to lose the puck too much when he tries that kind of thing. You know, he needs to be a little bit more bullish.
I could see him catching fire on this road trip. I think this could be a good thing for him to get away from the tank,
mm-hmm.
loosen up a little bit, get on the road. And it's going to be one of those things with Clough is once he gets one goal, then it's all going to open up.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
all going to open up for him. And the way Marleau is playing, you've got to believe that, you know, it's just going to be a matter of time. You know,
right.
If Patty would maybe share a little bit and not keep scoring all the damn goals by himself.
That's right. I have another thing, although it's not a huge, huge deal because it's obviously still early, but the Sharks are even strength, which is mm-hmm. they've given up 12 goals and they've scored 12 goals even strength. That's 5-on-5 and 4-on-4 combined.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this is something that people talked about last year. The team was not great even strength, even though they had a pretty gaudy record. Again, this team is not obviously better than average even strength so far.
But it's still...
It's so early.
It's so early.
And they scored a million power play goals against LA. You know, what'd they score? 4 or 5 power play goals.
Right. This, you know, we've talked a lot tonight about some hypothetical things, mm-hmm. dude. We talked about maybe trading Vlasic. We've talked about how Clough's in a funk. You know, are those the two guys at the top of the list if they're looking to make moves? It's very possible. Dude, I believe in the moves that they've made. I think they need to look for a number two defenseman to continue to upgrade. What they'd have to give up, I have no idea. But this team, in the end, they're built to be better even strength than they're playing right now.
Yeah, that's true.
And I think they will be. I think that the third line, once... You know, Malhotra has been disappointing in his first 6 games.
Like, yeah,
he
no
really
doubt.
Hasn't been as the effective player that I think we're expecting he's going to be, but he's going to be that guy. It's going to come through. Nickel has been a lot of fun to watch.
He's been a very pleasant surprise.
Ortmeier's had more of an impact than I think I mm-hmm. expected.
Yeah.
I think the team is coming together, but how many new guys do we have out there? 9?
Yeah.
I mean, so that's a ton.
That's,
I mean, that's
a lot of guys.
So many new players. You can't expect them to go out there and be world beaters right away. You might be seeing the same thing in Detroit right now. They've got a lot of new faces. And, you know,
They're worried. I read stuff in the media and they're a little shaken. They're not playing that great. And
they just lost Franzen.
Yeah.
So
who's on both my freaking fantasy teams. God, I got the worst luck with fantasy injuries. I
don't know, dude. Let's talk about the road trip here.
Yeah. So Washington on Thursday. That's going to be the great matchup,
ooh,
right?
Ooh, doggy.
That's a team actually not completely unlike ours, right? They got a great offensive defenseman, maybe a little weak on D, and a high-flying first line.
So it's going to be 1-0?
It's going to be
I
really
smell
fun.
A 5-4 barn burner
yeah,
here.
Yeah, it's going to be big.
I think if the Sharks can get a point in that game, then that's a victory for them right mm-hmm. now. They need to try and get a point in that game. So, but...
Yeah, I'd be happy with that.
I don't like our chances, but we'll see what happens.
I do.
You do?
I think we can play with any team in the league right
I
now.
I think so too, but...
Maybe it's not clicking quite as much as we'd like, but I mean...
I think it's too early for us to be playing that well against a team that's basically kept the majority of their players intact. They didn't make a ton of changes. Mike Knuble.
Yeah,
what about going to the island, dude? The Islanders have lost every game by one goal.
Oops.
One goal. Hey, so
Tavares is a good fantasy pickup for me.
So do we win by one goal?
Yeah, I think.
Okay, we'll stick with that.
I think we win by more than one. Islanders, you know, they're playing the Colorado playbook. They're playing the same way, which is take your young guys, put them in there, see what happens.
I'm curious. I haven't seen them play yet this year, so I'm curious to see what's going on there. I think that we do pick up a win there. Although with Greiss and Ned, anything goes, baby. Could be Greiss. You yeah. smell Greiss in that game?
Yeah.
You think so?
I really hope so. We'll I mean, see. Oh, also to go back to Washington. Washington is 2-2-2, so it's not like Washington's killing everybody.
No, but they're scoring a lot of goals.
Yeah, they are. Well, they lost to Detroit 3-2. They lost to Jersey 3-2. You know.
It's going to be a fun game.
It's going to be a great game sure. to watch. Do not miss it, Sharks fans. That's Thursday.
Speaking of a don't miss game, the New York Rangers are undefeated at home, dude. 4-0. They will have just be coming off a road game. I think they're going to Buffalo, and then they'll be coming back. Although that's not a big trip for them. I mean, that's a 45-minute flight, right?
They're at Toronto on Saturday.
Oops. Oh, who's in Buffalo? Maybe it's the Islanders that are in Buffalo the night before the game.
Yeah.
So we're catching both home teams on the back end of a back-to-back.
Rangers are 6-1.
Yeah, no, dude.
They're on fire.
But they're getting great play out of their young defensemen. Mac Elroy's been good.
Yeah.
Girardi's been good.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the giant question mark for them is what the hell's going to happen back there? And listen.
I just read an article the other day. You know who's playing well in this system? Wade Redden. Wade Redden is seen a resurgence in the John Tortorella system.
So, you know, we counted out the Rangers. Yeah. And again, it's early.
Dude.
Maybe we both spoke too soon.
Yeah, maybe
we'll
we
see.
Did.
And I mean, please. I mean, Marian Gaborik's a wet floor away from being out for... three more months.
He's a hangnail away.
Yeah, I know. You know it's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, we know. He's got 9 points, though.
So in these three games, dude, how many points do you think the Sharks come away with here?
I'm going to say they're going to get 5 points.
Whoa.
Yeah. I think they're going to beat the Islanders and the Rangers, and I think we're going to get 1 point out of Washington.
Okay. You're way ahead of me.
What are you saying? 3 points, three games?
Dude, I'm... Honestly,
yeah,
2 points.
Really?
Yeah.
So you think we're going to lose to Washington and the Rangers, yes. And we're just going to beat the Islanders?
Yeah, I wow. do. I hate to be Debbie Downer.
Talk about a glass half.
Sorry,
empty.
Dude. I'm just being honest. You're running into a Washington team that I think right now they're better than we are.
Mm-hmm.
And then you know the Islanders game, we should beat them every single time. And the Rangers are on fire,
fire,
fire. Yeah. So. Well, you know, and they probably will have just gone up and, you know,
beat the crap out of the Maple Leafs,
the worst team right now.
Yeah, yeah.
So who knows?
All right, dude. Anything else? Oh, yeah. Become a fan of ours on Facebook if you're new. You can find the link on the dudesonhockey.com website. It's awesome. Facebook, it's from the angels. It's divine, that invention.
You are such a Facebook lover.
No, I'm actually just being ironic. But no Twitter feed yet.
No.
No Twitter feed ever,
no,
actually.
No, we won't be Twittering.
But check out the blog and email
Miley
us
Cyrus
and all that
dropped
kind of
Twitter,
stuff.
Dude.
Yeah.
So
anyway.
I'm not doing it.
All right, that does it for this week's Dudes on the Hockey. Thanks for listening so much. We'll be back again next week, same time, same place.
Later, dude.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.